Monster Man, special episode, Young Adventurer's Guide. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. This is a special episode. It's a bonus episode for all of you who support Monster Man on Patreon. I'm trying to make one of these a month, but I am pretty sure that I didn't produce one in August, so I'm going to try and do two in September. Anyway, if you're a Patreon supporter, thank you very much. Well, you are a Patreon supporter, you wouldn't be hearing this, so thank you very much. Today, I wanted to talk about a recent acquisition of mine, and this is the Young Adventurer's Guide, Monsters and Creatures. This is a series of books that are that came out for, well, I say for 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. They don't have any rules content in them, so I guess they're just about Dungeons & Dragons generally, although they kind of share the 5th ed assumptions. This one, as I said, is the Monsters and Creatures book, and it is written by Jim Zub with Stacey King and Andrew Wheeler. You may know Jim Zub from his work on comics, including he did write or is still writing the Dungeons & Dragons comics, and Andrew Wheeler is the Andrew Wheeler who was a former editor at Comics Alliance. So what is this all about? Well, these are a series of books that are intended for younger readers. They come from 10 Speed Press, who are the company that put out the Art and Arcana D&D art book, which I think I've mentioned in the past. And they're a little hardback, and each monster is a two-page spread with a big illustration and then some kind of tips, a description of what they are, and some sort of fun facts about them, and some tips for dealing with them. Do this, don't do this. They're grouped by habitat, so there are five chapters, caverns and dark places, forests, mountains, and other terrain, moors, bogs, and boneyards, oceans, lakes, and waterways, and mountain peaks and open sky. And within each of those, we have monsters that you might find in those environments. So, and each section has a legendary monster within that category. Actually, there isn't a legendary ocean monster. So there are four legendary monsters. And then there's also a little thing called an encounter, which sort of describes, something that might take place within one of those environments. So the monsters that are covered in it are the Beholder, the Bugbear, the Carrion Crawler, the Flumph of all things, the Goblin, the Mind Flayer, and the Myconid, the Centaur, the Displacer Beast, the Owlbear, the Sprite, the Treant, and the Unicorn, the Hill, Stone, Frost, Fire, Cloud, and Storm Giants, the Banshee, the Skeleton, and the Vampire, both Lord and Spawn, the Aboleth, the Dragon Turtle, the Merrow, the Griffin, the Pegasus, and the White, Green, Black, Blue, and Red Dragons, and then the legendary monsters are Demogorgon, Tiamat, Strahd, and Duke Zalto, who apparently is a giant. I guess he's from the Against the Giants. I don't know. And then Storm King's Thunder, the big 5th edition campaign about giants. And so, like I said, each of these things has a big illustration. Some of them are really effectively worked into the text. So, like, there's the Beholder has, arrows pointing to each of its eyes and, telling you what each of them do. So it'll be like telekinesis. This eye's beam can hold you in place or move you around. Charm. If you fall under this eye spell, you'll think the Beholder is your friend and do what it says. Death. Yikes! And they tell you a little bit about the creature's lair, and they have a diagram that shows you how big it is, and they're often quite interesting size comparisons. So I like the Bugbear, for instance, says, Bugbears are a little taller than a normal doorway, with broad shoulders and thick muscular limbs. I think that's interesting, they're bigger than a door, which is a good way to put the bugbear within a dungeon environment, but also a good way to compare it to something that, a young person would have an obvious comparison with. So they also talk about a Demogorgon could look into the second floor of a multi-story building or something like that. So they're a lot of fun. And the encounters are basically little stories that explain the sort of situations you might find yourself in with these monsters. And they're not all just fights. So the Myconid colony one focuses on the idea that Myconid colonies are all connected to each other. So if you've wronged some Myconid somewhere, other Myconids will be hey, we know you, you're a bad character. And then you have to sort of figure out how you're going to respond to that. So it does a good job of suggesting that D&D is this game about exploring and encountering the strange. I think that's sort of what Flumphs are doing in here as well. you know, that many of the chapters contain monsters that aren't just foes. So, you know, Myconids are just, they're intelligent creatures. They might be your enemies or they might not. Flumphs are really good guys and in general should be trusted. You know, unicorns, obviously. And sort of like an introduction to some of, you know, the big names. I think obviously like Demogorgon, coming off of its appearance in Stranger Things, you know, that's kind of a gimme Tiamat. It's interesting that color dragons and Tiamat are present, but not metallic dragons and Bahamut. It's a really well put together book. It's got a nice cover. It's got fun illustrations. I don't believe that these are, I believe these are all original illustrations to this book. So they're not like recycled from elsewhere within, you know, the D&D sort of canon. I like the stone giant who is carving a stone rather than like flinging a rock around. I like the hill giant. It's got kind of a puzzled expression on his face. Yeah, so I don't know. There, a lot of them are shown sort of in the middle of their ordinary activities, which in some cases, you know, like the displacer beast or the owlbear just means prowling around. But others are a little more inventive, and I think they're pretty good. This book is completely inessential. You know, it's just a fun picture book about monsters that might be enjoyable for a younger person to read. I think it is something that, like, you could do a monster book like this. You know, there's enough room in these entries for everything you need to know about a monster to be on those two pages. Like, the way in which they use the beholder illustration to present information about the monster could have been done mechanically, and it would be great to do that with all these other ones. You know, you could indicate the, you know, the flame that the dragon is breathing out and use that to give stats about the dragon's breath weapon, or you could, you know, indicate the sort of harpoon that the bugbear is carrying and be like, oh, well, the bugbear's weapon does, you know, this extra die of damage, etc., etc. So I feel like you could do a monster book like this, and in many ways it would be better than the, now obviously the older monster texts, things like the Monster Manual 2, are very like information, well, I don't want to mean say information dense, they're very text dense. A lot of that text is not strictly all that informative. But, you know, I was reading Kyle Chenier's review of the new 5th edition book, Baldur's Gate Descent into Avernus, and in it he said, you know, this book looks expensive. And that meant it as a compliment, but that's sometimes how I feel about some of these, you know, some of the modern books. Like, they look nice, but not in a way that improves their utility. Now, I haven't seen that book, so, you know, maybe that's not true in this case. But I feel like, in some ways, you could take a lot of lessons from this book and make a monster manual that was more easily accessible, maybe more useful at the table, and still had a lot of visual appeal. Now, like I said, there's a lot of new art in here, but it's all, you know, in that quite sort of standardized style that by now you'd expect from, you know, 5th edition D&D. There's not any, you know, Russ Nicholson or Tony DeTerlitzy stuff in here. It's all pretty much in the house style, which is a little bit of a shame. I'd like to see different artists' takes on these creatures, like really start as a, you know, take it as a springboard for more inventive visual design. Like, obviously it's the nature of D&D that what you're going to get is stuff that's kind of middle of the road but polished to a high shine. It'd be nice to see them be a little more experimental in their approach. But I really like the text. I think it's accessible. I think it's fun for, you know, I think it could be fun for younger readers to approach. It could be, I don't know what the sort of recommended age of these, of the audience is, but you know, I think it's definitely aimed at people who kind of, you know, want to know what that game is that their parents or their big siblings are playing. And that, I think, raises really the only question that I have about this text, which is, isn't part of the appeal of monster books and of RPG books in general for younger readers that you don't completely understand them? Certainly when I was a kid, that's very much how I felt about these things. Like, it was clear to me that there were things that I was missing, references I didn't get, there were words that I didn't understand. Certainly there are a lot of words that I first encountered in a gaming context and, you know, and had to like look up in a dictionary, or more characteristically of me, just used incorrectly until someone corrected me. I feel like there's room for a book like this that, you know, that is accessible to younger readers, but I also feel like there's room for, you know, younger readers to explore and enjoy challenging texts, like texts that are maybe more advanced than is appropriate to their level, but for whom that kind of, like, that's part of the appeal. But I also think that that's truer of the older monster books than the newer ones. Like, there's a lot of text in the 5th edition Monster Manual, but I don't know that other than the mechanics, it's that challenging? I don't know. I'd have to actually go and look at it and really think about it. You know, I tend to work with older students, you know, who are in their teens, and I don't think there's anything in a D&D rulebook that's too difficult for them. But maybe for much younger readers, something like this could be a lot of fun. I mean, I'm glad I bought this book. It was fun to read, and I like the fact that it exists. I'd be very interested to see what the other ones look like. There's one that's basically about character creation, there's one about magic, and there's one about dungeons. I'd be particularly interested in taking a look at those character creation and dungeons ones. This is a show about monsters, because monsters are great. So I got the one about monsters. I don't know, it's kind of a curious product. There are a number of these things that I do sort of wonder, like, you know, is the idea that, like, D&D playing parents will give them to their kids, or what are they for? I don't know. But like I said, I think it's an inessential purchase, but it's a fun idea, and it's very interesting to see that they're conscious that their market includes a lot of parents. And, you know, children's books aren't marketed at children, they're marketed at parents. And I think they're aiming at a generation of parents who are hoping to get their kids interested in the games that they play. Although I feel like if you're the kind of kid who's going to enjoy D&D, then the mystery of a more challenging book might appeal to you anyway. But that might be a stereotype in my mind. So I don't know. I don't have kids. What are your experiences like? If you're a parent and you play with your kids, like, you know, how did they get involved? How do they find the sort of the challenge of rulebooks, particularly if you play older editions? They're not always very accessible. Even older editions of D&D that are mechanically simple enough for kids can be textually, you know, quite challenging. So I'd be interested in hearing in the comments, what your experience has been like. Anyway, like I say, I'm going to try and get out another one of these in September. I still haven't decided what it's going to be about, but I'll figure something out. If you have suggestions, I'd also love to hear about those in the comments to this episode. So it only remains for me to say thank you very much for your support of Monster Man on Patreon. It means a lot to me that you've been enjoying the show so much that you've chosen to contribute to it financially. So yeah, thanks a lot. Anyway, that's it for this special episode of Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.